just want to talk to you today in continuation with the healing of the brokenhearted. We started on that last week, and there's a real strong vein. The Holy Spirit's been showing me to continue to talk about the brokenness and how God can heal that. And I'd like to start out by reading Psalm 23 today. It's one of the most famous, if not the most famous, scripture passage in the Bible. It's Psalm 23. If we can turn there, I'd like to read that to you today. And the Spirit of the Lord continues to tell me that there's more to come in this area throughout this year, but he's going to continue to do something special for you today. For those of you that have been hurt, or those of you that have received injustice in your life, this is a message for you today. And it's in Psalm 23. Let's read it all together. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, for my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, or goodness and love, will follow me the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today I'm talking to you about how to let God bring justice into your life where there has been injustice shown to you. God has promised if we will put our trust in him, he will pay us back for all the unfair treatment that we have gone through. Whatever has happened to us, whatever broken heart we have had, maybe you were cheated in a business, or maybe you lost a lot of money. Someone may have stolen from you. Maybe somebody lied about you or slandered you. Maybe misinformation was kept from you or told about you. Maybe things just didn't work out that way you had planned. But God wants to know, he wants you to know this today. He wants you to know that even though you have been betrayed, the Lord will bring justice into your life. That's a good word. The Lord will bring justice. We all have had incredible scars causing us to want to hold on to our grief or our bondage. And it's very logical for most of us to want to seek revenge, but that is not from God. You know, the American solution, if you've really heard what's on television and throughout all the talk shows, et cetera, American solution is commonly known as don't get mad, just get even. But the Bible says this, God is a just God, and he'll settle the cases of his people. God is your vindicator. Okay, we need to let God fight our battles, because if we let God fight our battles, he'll do it very, very well. I believe that if we turn our matters over to him, the God of this universe will stop the fiery darts of the wicked one that have been shown against you, and God will handle your affairs. I used to hear Mom Wilkie say this over and over and over again. She would always say this. She'd say, God is handling all my affairs. He'll make your wrongs right, and he'll bring justice to you. If we trust God to bring us justice, he will do it. So many people in the workplace or in this life general are only looking out for what I call number one, which is the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. That's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. Pursuing selfish ambitions, et cetera, but the wonderful thing about Jesus is that if you look to Jesus, if you make him your hope, God will be your helper. Somebody in your life may have not treated you right, and that's why you're suffering today with a broken heart. They may be saying things that are not true about you. They may be spreading vicious rumors about you, telling lies. You may have lost everything. But God has good news for you. He can take those mistakes and turn them around into miracles. Today is a day where he will take those mistakes and make them into miracles. Hallelujah. Because that is the way the Lord works, okay? If your life, and like most people, you're tempted to just kind of, you know, walk through things, and if you run into some problems, you want to avoid those problems. You know what I've learned about life? When I come into problems, it's an opportunity to trust God, and it's an opportunity for me to be promoted. It really is. It's an opportunity for me to be promoted. Remember what we read in Psalm 23. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. So the question is, when we've had these hurts, these negative things happen, are we going to become negative, bitter, or angry, or are we going to turn it over to God? Okay? I'd like you to look at the scripture passage. It's in 1 Peter. This is a scripture passage about how we can turn things over. If we've had a broken heart, if we've been devastated, we can turn it over to God and watch and see what he promises us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled. Be alert because your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. But resist him, standing firm in your faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, it is incumbent upon us, because we have a right by God. This is a right given to us by God. As the, you know, in the government, they call it inalienable right. We have an inalienable right by God Almighty to trust him in the midst of injustice, and he will turn that situation around for your favor. If we have what's called patience, and I'm going to emphasize that because patience is what's important. With that perfect work, if we put that perfect patience to work, we will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That's what we got to put to work, though, that patience. Instead of having a sour attitude, remember, attitude is everything. You've got to understand that you're not serving and working merely for a person, a company, or for your spouse, or for your children. You're serving and working for God. Remember that. You're serving and you're working for God, and God is the one who lifts you up. God is the one who can promote you and will promote you when you've gone through injustice. So in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read this to you. This is a beautiful scripture. In Matthew 6, this is our hope today. In Matthew 6, verses 5 through 6, it says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, how? Openly. Praise be God to God. He'll reward you openly. So what you need to do is get with God. When you're going through the tough times of life, get with God. Get with him and put that confident assurance and trust in the Lord. For God watches over your situation. And the Bible says he will promote you. When God pays you back for the injustice that you've gone through, he is abundant in it. When God wants you to be blessed, it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. When your future is held in God's hands, remember this: God is in control. And God, who is a just God, knows how to take what the enemy meant for your evil and turn it around for your good. Hallelujah. In other words, promotion doesn't come from your boss. Promotion doesn't come from your supervisor. Promotion doesn't come from your company. Promotion doesn't come from any relationship that you have. Promotion comes from God. True promotion, the Bible says, comes from Almighty God. When God says it's time for you to be blessed, all the forces of hell cannot stop it. God will not allow someone to keep mistreating you. He will not allow someone to keep mistreating you because God is your vindicator. Remember Job. Remember him? Remember the trials that he went through over and over and over again? Remember, he would call unto God in the midst of his trials, and what his words were, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's what he said. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will not allow me to have more than I can handle. But with every temptation, the Bible says, he will provide a breakthrough. He's the God of the breakthroughs, you see. And I'm standing here today as a living testimony that my God has helped me break through to new heights. And you see, it seems as if right before the new level comes, there's all hell that breaks loose against you to try to stop you and discourage you and try to keep you down. Remember, turn this over to God. Turn your circumstances over to God. And when you do, the Good Shepherd will bring justice and blessing into your life because the Lord promised it in Psalm 23. He says, I am the Lord. I am your shepherd. You shall not want. God is your good shepherd. Sometimes when we don't see anything happen, though, month after month, maybe it's year after year, it's so difficult and it's so hard. And sometimes we just want to say, we're tempted right then to get kind of manipulative and to quit. We're tempted. But when we do that, we walk away and we're literally interfering with God's plans and purposes. What we need is patience to undergird us. What we need is to cry out, God, lift me up. Don't let me quit. Give me that patience right now to believe for that promise. I believe that you are with me. You know what patience means? It means long suffering. But it is literally the power that helps us to overcome every force that comes against us. Because, you see, patience will undergird your faith. It will cause you not to quit when you want to quit. It'll cause you to stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, expecting to receive from the Lord. See, we serve a loving God who wants to do more than, the Bible says, more than we could even ask or think. So if we keep doing what is right and not get offended, don't let people upset you, okay? Don't pay them back evil for evil. But the Bible says in Romans 12, return good for evil. The Bible says, never get tired of doing what's right. We return good for evil. In due season, we will reap if we do not faint. So I'm going to read to you some beautiful scriptures that I've used and I've stood on throughout my life that have changed my life. One of them is in Psalms 139. And I've read this over and over again, and I really believe it's going to witness to you. Somehow in your heart, something will go off inside. It's Psalm 139. And if you can get this tape, it'd be a good thing to listen to this over and over again. Psalm 139, and it's verse 17. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now, God, you know, that's a powerful thought. Listen, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. In other words, the thoughts that God is thinking about us are endless. He's always thinking about us. He's always thinking about us. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, if you think about that long enough to know that God is always thinking about you, he's always caring for you, then your mind would be at perfect peace because you're going to keep that mind steadfast on him because he'll be that delivering power for you. I'm going to read another one in Psalm 119. This is verse 76 to 80. The Lord says here, Your hands made me inform me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous. May your unfailing love be my comfort. Let your compassion come to me that I may live. Now, I believe that if we ask God to give us compassion, do you think he's going to give us a snake? If we ask God for mercy, is he going to give us a scorpion? What is he going to give us if we ask him for compassion? If we ask him to be patient with us, he's going to give us mercy. Sometimes when we don't see anything, though, this thing called month after month, year after year, remember, somebody may be saying nasty things about you behind your back. Somebody may be gypping you. Your ideas, you know, are still though intact. I like this poem I read one time. It said, if everything around about you is faltering and failing, and the poet said, if everything around you is faltering and failing, and you can keep your head above it, when everyone else is blaming you for the problems, yours is the world. You know what I mean by that? I mean, if injustice has come and you're walking through injustice and people are blaming you for the problem, but you still keep your head up high and hold your head up high and continue to trust in God and stay patient and endure and walk through that, God will vindicate you and God will show you to be in the right. You know, Job was cheated out of a lot of things. He sure was. Your attitude should be, hey, God, no big deal. You got me covered. You got me covered. I'll give it to you. I'll give this problem to you. I'll surrender it to you. And Martin Luther said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, everything that I've held on to, I have lost. But everything I've surrendered over into God's hands, I have never lost. I surrender it over into God's hands. If someone invites all of your friends out to dinner, but they exclude you, you know what your attitude should be? No big deal. God knows what I need. God will bring new friends into my life. When you truly understand you don't have to fix everything, things begin to get a lot happier. You don't have to fix everything. God is fighting your battles. The beautiful thing about God is that he's promised to defend the oppressed, the fatherless, the widow, and the orphan. That's who he defends. He defends the fatherless, the widows, and the orphans. A few years ago, I shouldn't say more than a few years ago, it was probably almost over 25 years right now. Think about it. Yeah, it's a long time ago. We were in the ministry serving God and traveling all over the world, and you know what happened? One of the people that we were working with in our office actually stole around $4,000 from us. It was a lot of money at the time because we weren't making all that much, but they stole about $4,000. But right around the corner from that, because we forgave her, because we released her to the Lord, we forgave her. Do you know what God did for us? It was so beautiful. Someone gave us over $25,000 to do a new, brand new CD, to record one. God knows how to vindicate us if we stay faithful, if we stay loving, and we just turn it over to God. If you leave the situation into God's hands, he'll handle the injustice. For God has now given us so many beautiful friends and family. He's given us you. You're a joy to us. It's a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege to be in this church. It's an honor. And on our daughter, Laurel, Pastor Tom, since that time, since we had that $4,000 stolen from us, he's now given us so many blessings. He's given us time after time monetary blessings so we could do CDs, so we could do the things that we have for the center. You know, just recently, I just want to tell you a good report. You know, the money that we needed for the for all the things that we purchased at the daycare. We were able to place that order this week so we could have the new things for the center. And that is a praise and honor to the Lord because he brought in the finances. It really is. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. And I'm going to add at the end of the service that I talked to some of the ladies, and they still need a few little items that we can just, you know, take up an offering for at the close of the service, because there are a few more things that I didn't see. One of the things, which is a climbing thing for the little babies in the climbing room, because right now they're climbing on the chairs, and that's not quite working real well. And so we're going to purchase a climbing thing yet, and we're going to order it, and we can contribute to that at the close of the service if you'd like to do so. But maybe month after month or year after year, you're tempted to be discouraged. But remember this. God is with you. And if God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? The Bible says of King David that he was a very young, popular man. But King Saul was very jealous, and he was a ruler trying to put him down. But David kept a good attitude. He kept respecting Saul's place of authority. And he kept honoring Saul. And God protected David and gave him everything that he needed. God brought him into a place of rulership. He gave him everything and more that he could ever dream. But the thing about it is that it was a long time that he was running from Saul. And he could have been tempted many times to quit, to throw in the towel, to give up. But he didn't. He refused to do that. He was tempted many times, probably, to disdain Saul and to look at Saul and say, you know, what in the world are you? And he probably, you know, he was a real mean king. Saul threw a javelin at him one time. You know, I think about being unjustly treated, that's probably the epitome of it when someone tries to kill you. Nevertheless, you know what David did? He trusted himself to the Lord. He forgave his abuser, and God turned it around. The true test is when you get a Saul in your life. Every situation, if we put in God's hands, though, God will turn around. Now, let me tell you this. This is the key, though. It's called patience. It's called patience. In John chapter 11, I'm going to read to you this story, and in it is the evidence of how patience had its perfect work, that they were perfect, entire, wanting nothing. In John chapter 11 is a story. I like to read this story quite often. Whenever I think about, you know, having to wait a little while for a promise, I'm reminded of this. There was a man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany and the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters went and sent word to Jesus and said, Lord, the one you love is sick. But when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the Lord's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So here you go. Sometimes you think that your problems, you know, are because you've done something wrong or so-and-so has done something wrong, whatever. You know what? That's not the truth. The Bible says here that when you've gone through situations, God says, this was a sickness that was not unto death. It was that the Lord would be glorified in it. Wow. Praise God. What have you been bearing up under so much condemnation for? Maybe the abuser has hurt you, lied about you, you've lost your job, you don't have physical health any longer. This is the area where the enemy will try to destroy you the worst by trying to tell you that you're at fault. You're the one who's at fault. You're the one who made the mistake. What's the use? How can I get out of this? I'm at fault and I don't know how to get out. You know, there could be nothing worse than hearing those words. You should have done this, or you better have done that, or I wish you would have. You know, that condemnation is a trap because it'll stop your faith and patience from working. Condemnation comes in, it creeps in, and everyone was probably condemning, you know, Lazarus and Mary and the whole bit right now because here, you know, he's sick. But it says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? And Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees this world's light. But when he walks by night, then he will stumble, for he has no light. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there to wake him up. Wow. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He had to tell them right out, guys, I know he's dead, okay? And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now, get this. This is the story that I want you to be assured of. When you're going through brokenness and when you're going through difficulties, Jesus is there, and he knows, and he has heard your cry. But he's waiting so that he may receive a glory in it. He may receive the biggest honor and the biggest praise report, and all praise will go to him. Now listen, this is so cool. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God, you will give to me whatever I ask. Wow, that's faith. Can you say, even now I know that God will answer my prayer? Even now I know that God will answer my prayer. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she said. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house were comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. So what was happening? Jesus was gathering a crowd. He was gathering a bunch of people. He wanted all the people to have this kind of a testimony, the testimony of Jesus, to go forth. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. And here Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Once again, he's showing himself to be a person of compassion to the crowd. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Now notice, this is the key for healing in your heart that is broken. This is the key. Trusting in God and leaving the timing in God's hands. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I know you do. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with loincloths, and a cloth was around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, what I want to emphasize here is that God has given you a promise. God has given you a promise. And some of you have had a broken heart along the way. Your heart has been discouraged. You say, well, God, maybe I've done too many wrong things. Maybe I've just gone off the path. It's just been too long. I don't know how to get restored. Are you still my vindicator? Do you know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you know that when you believe that good things can happen? Do you know that God has promised to give you beauty for ashes, the Bible says, the oil of joy for a spirit of heaviness? You know what? We can't be moved by what we see. In the scriptures, in Ezekiel, it says, there were a bunch of dry bones. And Jesus said, prophesy to those dry bones. Do you believe the dry bones can live? At that moment, Ezekiel was saying to God, you alone know. In other words, he didn't really know. He said, you alone know. But then God commanded him and said, Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy to these dry bones that they may live. Prophesy that they hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Continue to prophesy. Shake off your doubt. Do you believe? Lazarus here was sick. Jesus, it seemed as if, waited too long. And everybody around about was going, if you only would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But what they didn't realize was that God wanted to do an even greater thing. He wanted to do an even greater miracle. He wanted to show himself as not only the healer of a broken heart, but the healer of broken body. You know what? I am asking you today to recognize that when you believe, faith will rise up in your heart and you will say, God, I'm going to show the naysayers that God is with me. I'm going to show the naysayers that God is with me. You got to show them what you're made of. You got to shine and glow in the dark when all the people around about you are mistreating you. They're defaming you. They're saying God is not for you. He has a terrible disease. Look at, he lost all of his money. Look at that. Look at, he lost his whole ministry. You know what? That's the time where God will shine in your life. And God will be your vindicator. He will be your hope. He will be your standby. He'll save you. If you believe, you can see the glory of the Lord. You see, you got to keep that thermostat set on high. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't give in. Let that patience have its perfect work. Let it have its perfect work, because you're a believer, not a doubter. You're a believer. God has called you as a believer. And belief has to have that patience that comes underneath it to undergird it. Not only that, but if we believe, the Bible says, when we stand praying, we've got to forgive. And so many people quit in this area because you may see your abuser, or you may think of your abuser, and you just may want to say bad things about your abuser. You may want to, rake them over the coals or whatever. But let me tell you this, most of the ground Satan gains is through this thing called unforgiveness. It's through unforgiveness. And so there's two things that we're dealing with here right now, with that promise that God has given you. Let patience have its perfect work, but also when you stand praying, forgive. Forgiveness means to pardon someone. It's the true nature of God. How do you know when you're forgiving? I wrote down some things and ways in which you can know that you're forgiving someone, okay? I put them down because forgiveness is actually a very interesting thing. You know if you've forgiven someone if, well, I should say this. You can tell if you've not forgiven someone. You've not forgiven someone. If someone brings up your offender's name and you have something derogatory to say about them, that's how you know you haven't forgiven. If someone brings up their name and you, you come in there with your ideas and blah, 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 blah. You know you haven't forgiven if that's the case. And what you got to do is you've got to forgive totally, total forgiveness. Number two, you may feel uneasy or shrivel up around that person, avoiding them. That's indication that you haven't forgiven them yet. Or even worse, you want bad things to happen to them. You hear about some bad thing that happened to them, and you're rejoicing in your heart. You know you haven't forgiven. And so how do you forgive? You know, how do you release this to the Lord? Well, let me tell you, Catherine Kuhlman had so many people, so many negative things that were said about her. I mean, she was one of the most influential women in this society, and she had more healings and miracles in her day than many women of that time. And people, though, would mock her. They'd make fun of her. They'd say it's a hoax. She's a fraud. And know what she would say when she heard all those negative reports? She'd just go, "I forgive them. And I'm going to pretend like it never happened." You see, this is the reason why we need to forgive. It's because it makes God happy. It's a part of his nature to forgive. There's another very important reason, because if we don't, we're given over to the tormentors. And I sure don't want to be tormented. Do you? I want to be free. I want my prayers to be answered. The Bible says if you forgive, your prayers will be answered. God himself will cleanse you. He'll purify you. The shepherd himself will actually disarm your enemies. He'll bring your enemies to your mind, and if you actually forgive them, you know what he'll do? He'll take his big old club. In the Old Testament, the shepherds would have a club, and he'll literally knock the daylights out of the devil for you. That's what he'll do. God has forgiven us, but why are we always holding on to these things? Why are we holding on to our problems and rehearsing those bad things that so-and-so said? Why are we afraid to be around our abusers when actually we can look at them with love in our eyes and say, God meant it for good, even though inside you know that they meant it for evil. You can tell them, God meant this for good. God meant it for good. How can we know those things? Because we know we serve a merciful God. We have a God who has our life planned. He's holding our life in his hands. He knows those ins and outs of our daily affairs, and he knows how to take us into that place of victory. Sometimes he wants all the world to know, and he's going to set you up with this most awesome testimony that you'll be able to say, look what the Lord has done here. No matter what you've walked through, you went through bankruptcy, you went through hurts, you went through difficulties, but look what the Lord has done now. Look where he's brought me through. Look what he's taken me into right now. You know, 20 years from now, you're going to be able to stand and say, yeah, he brought me through this, he brought me through this, but look what I have, look where I've been, look what God's done. Look what the Lord has done. How many of you can say honestly that you've gone through some pretty hard times in the past? Maybe it's bankruptcy. Yeah. Maybe it's emotional frenzy, a broken heart. Maybe it's physical healing. You were sick as a dog on your bed, laying there, nobody to help you. And Jesus came in and raised you up. You know, I love the things that the Bible says, the problems that occur. I personally had a really, really bad back problem. It was right before I had to write the book, The Costly Anointing. I was laying on my back. I couldn't barely even move. They had a hospital bed in my house. And I was taking care of my daughter. I had the hospital bed sitting there in my family room. It so hurts. There was no other way in which I could overcome but just give the Lord praise. Now to this day, I got to tell you that I can leap, I can walk, I can praise God, and I'm able to join in and praise and lift things that I never could lift before. I've started a daycare where I'm taking care of children, holding them and lifting them. Look what the Lord has done. You see, God has given us beauty for ashes. Years ago, I went through a tremendous broken heart. I talked to you about it last week. There were so many times where I could have just given up, thrown in the towel and said, what's it worth? But God kept assuring me and saying, you know what? If you don't get mad, I'll make you glad. If you don't give up, I'll lift you up. You know, I continued to read all those scriptures. Especially, I remember one video being especially important to me. It was the story of Thomas Edison and how many times he tried to invent the light bulb. And over again, he failed and he failed and he failed and he failed. And he just, you know, so many times he could have quit. But that one last time worked. And it's just that one last time that we have to say, I'm shooting for that one last time that's going to work. Because God is always our answer. How do we do this, though? How do we forgive our abuser? Okay, I'm going to tell you something that's a real secret. Do you know that sometimes true forgiveness means looking at them in the eyes of thankfulness? And you say, what? How can you do that? Thankful? Yes. Because the Bible says, when you go through injustice, that's when God becomes your vindicator. How are you going to see God's power at work unless you've got a problem? How are you going to feel and know the love of God unless you've had a problem to deal with? Okay, so literally the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord. Okay, and so when you recognize that the shepherd, Jesus, who is the shepherd of your soul, has a rod and a staff in his hand, that when the shepherd is there, he will comfort you. What did we read in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know in the Middle East, the shepherd came with a rod. He would carry a rod and a staff. And each shepherd boy actually shaped his own rod or his own club. It was suited to his own size and to his own shape. And from a little sapling, it was whittled down with great care. It would be shaped so beautifully that he would take and wield that rod against every predator that came along. Every single wolf, every single cougar, every single dog, every single snake, that shepherd had whittled this rod, and it literally would wipe out the enemy. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Lord meant when he said, your rod comforts me. How many of you know it's good to have the Lord fighting for you? Amen? So many of us have bored angels. Our angels are sitting around twiddling their thumbs because we are all so worried about the situation. But when we begin to rise up and we begin to say, the Lord is for me, not against me, your angels have something to work with. Your angels can rise up and they can go to the rescue and help you. You see, you don't want to contend with the angel of the Lord. because every one of you has an angel with you. And, you know, those little angels, they're not little babies, little cherubs going flying around like that. That's not what they look like. They're big dudes. I'm telling you, they're big dudes. They're tall. Glenn, they're tall. They're big, and they fight for you. They're tall, and they're big, and they're brawny, and they've got muscles, man. And you don't want to mess with the angels of God. And when you begin, if you could realize that you all have these angels with you, this is awesome. When you begin to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you begin to exhort the Lord and encourage the Lord and say, "Lord, do battle for me. The battle is the Lord's." Then he begins to fight the battle. The angels are then released on assignment to bring back the vision to you and to stop the work of the enemy. The angels are on a mission, and they need to come into position, bringing back the vision to the sons and daughters of God, because God has a plan for you. You know, it's so beautiful. The Lord is your shepherd. He's like your rod. He is the rod, and he works with other things around about you. The angels of God all hearken to the voice of his word. That rod stands as a symbol of strength and power and authority in any serious situation that you go through. The shepherd safeguards every one of his little sheep. Therefore, it was a comfort to be around the shepherd, because the comforter was there to protect. That word rod speaks of the spoken word, the expressed intent of God, the extension of God's mind, his attitude, and his heart. Strange philosophies are always out there. Like, you know, you hear those strange things that the enemy tells you. God's not for you. God's not going to help you. Whenever you hear that, stand up and say, "The rod of the Lord is with me." Speak it out of your mouth. "For the Lord is with me. He is mighty to deliver." You know, the second dimension of this rod, though, is for the welfare of the sheep. And it's called discipline. That club is used for more purpose than anything else. It's to discipline us sometimes. And this is the part that we may not enjoy. But it is true that if the shepherd saw a sheep wandering away or approaching a poisonous weed area, you know what he would say? He'd get out that same little club and it'd go whistling through the air to that wayward sheep or that animal scurrying away from the bunch, and it bop that little sheep and stun him so he wouldn't go running away, and he'd go and gather him. Now, another thing that we've got to remember is that when we're going through difficulties, we've got to cry out for the word of the Lord and say, "Lord, show me where I can change. I want to be like you, and I want to change. I don't want to be trapped in the patterns that my life has set for me. I don't want to be enslaved by my broken heart. I don't want to be trapped. I want to be a different person," because it's not what happens around about you so much as what happens inside of you that will be your help. What happens is that the Lord will be the lover of your soul, and you'll begin to love the unlovely and help the helpless. And when you begin to sow your life into other people, you're going to see tremendous results. So, you know, I thought this was so cool when I studied the shepherd too. He takes that rod, and that rod also examines and counts the sheep. If any sheep would have parasites or bugs or insects, do you know what that shepherd would do? He would take that rod and he would push back the long wool and try to see if there's any parasites in there, and he would actually clean the sheep with that rod. And that's how God does it for us too. He takes us, he takes that word, and he cleanses us. You can't pull, you know, have you ever heard that saying, "You can't pull the wool over my eyes"? It comes from that saying where the shepherd would take and separate with that club. He would separate the wool to find the parasites or the bugs and examine where they would be. And then he would pour in the oil, and the oil over the parasites would kill the parasites or the bugs. Whew. Now, I'm just saying something right now that I believe is going to help the whole congregation here. We need to remember this. When we're going through difficulties, cry out to God for discipline. And let the Lord discipline you. Let him discipline you. What if he says, you're going in the wrong direction? Go this way. Then move in that direction. What if he says, stop, then stop. Okay? And just remember this. There's a whole lot of things that God says may be easy for a strong believer, but God says, you may be a young believer, but you still can do it. Because his way is easy and his burden is light. And you can do this. You can do this. Don't say in your heart, I can't. Because God says he's been waiting for the powerful testimony. He wants to give you a powerful testimony to display before all men the glory of the Lord. And when you get under the anointing of God, and when that oil comes upon you, that's when you say, Lord, I want to change. I'm going to change for the better. I'm going to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to endure. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to lag in zeal. Lord, don't let me quit. Discipline me so that I can become the person that you want me to be. Discipline me. I remember when I was traveling with Brother Norville Hayes. My husband and I were working together with him. It was so difficult for me, and this is a time where I was very broken because he would ask me to do things on the spur of the moment, and I'm a very melancholy person, and I was very set in my ways, and I always liked to have it a certain way, and he would always just come to me and say, you know, 5 minutes before I had to leave worship, he'd say, you're leading worship. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't do this. I can't do this. I stood out there obedient, and I did it, and it did work. But I was so used to something else, moving in a different vein. I'd never done that before, and I had to change. I had to do something that I wasn't used to. And so often, like I said, we've got to change and get in with God's program in order to adapt to what his will is. And so that's why that rod comforts us. It will be a comfort to us if we let it. And so I took that rod on me, and I began to swat me with it and kick me with it and, you know, slap me with it and say, you can do this, Lori. You can do this. You can do this. Don't complain. And I didn't. And pretty soon I was singing before masses of people as we traveled together. I was singing before Brother Copeland and Gloria Copeland. I was singing before Rod Parsley. I was singing before everyone that you could ever imagine that's on TV. Most of those people I've been around. But the thing about it is that I didn't stop. I didn't say, I can't do this. I can't do this. And you get impatient and, nah, I can't do this. This is abuse. This is abuse. No. You see, God has a time and a season for everything. And if we just let him work that patience in our life, and let him deal with the issues of our hearts so we don't give up, we'll see the glory of the Lord. We'll see our lives resurrected, just like Lazarus was resurrected. We'll be resurrected too into a new place. I want you to stand with me today, and we're going to do something corporately together, because I know that some of you have been abused. Maybe you had a father that abused you. Maybe you had a mother that abused you. Maybe there was just a loss of integrity. Something happened in your life. You lost your integrity. I'm believing today that as we stand praying, we're going to forgive. And I'd like to sing a song called I Want to Change. I believe that God wants us to change today. He wants us to take a turn in a new direction, to make a change, to let the Lord heal our broken heart, and to say, you know, I'm not going to be trapped in this pattern any longer. I want something better. And the first place that God starts is in this heart to heal. Nothing can happen outside unless the inside is healed first. So can we do something? Can we pray together forgiveness, a prayer of forgiveness for those that have abused us. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. And God's gonna walk you through this. You're gonna see some people's faces before your eyes, because I know how God works in the ministry of inner healing. You're gonna see that person's face before your face, before your eyes, spiritually. You're gonna see them. And God wants you to look at that person, and he wants you to forgive them wholly and completely. Wholly and completely, so that you can actually be thankful for that situation that happened. Wasn't for your demise, it was for good, to give you a future and a hope. So, Father, I just want to thank you right now for each person here, that God, you would turn their life around today as they forgive. Forgive in your heart. And truly, truly say, Lord, I want to change. Help me, Lord, to be more like you. When you said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Lord, you know my past. Like clay, the pains of life have molded me. Oh, the years have brought so many things. From example, I can see. Some good, some bad, but they're all a part of me. Oh, but I see my selfish motives and my inconsistencies. Block upon block, the wall was built complete. Please come and break that wall down, Lord. Show this willing heart how to be free. I want to be like you. I want to change and not be trapped in a pattern my life has set for me. I want to be like you. I want to change into what until all I can clearly see is a loving reflection of you in me. Teach me to forgive, letting go of hurts I hide inside. Oh, Jesus, facing all of the things in me I bury deep inside, as your healing love brings all of them to light. Let my life be an example of what true life can be when it's given like a gift to those who need. Control, God, of this yielded, willing soul, and live through me. I want to be like you. I want to change and not be trapped in a pattern my life has set for me. Into what I was meant to be, until all I can clearly see is a loving reflection of you in me. Dear Lord, I just want to cry unto you today. Make me like you. Cause me, Lord, to forgive those that have hurt me. I forgive those, Lord Jesus. I want to be like you. God, I want to change and not be trapped in a pattern my life has set for me.
into what I was meant to be, my Lord, until all I can clearly see, my God, is a loving reflection of you in me.
Can you right now, can you just lift up your hands before Jesus Christ right now? Just lift up your hands before the Lord and say, God, I forgive. I forgive, Lord. I forgive, Lord. Father, I ask you, wash me clean. Purify me, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, I want to give you praise right now that as you have shown me, God, that what was meant for evil, what was meant to push me down, what was meant to make me a loser has now made me stronger. Has now made me survive. It's made me be able to love people that I never thought I could touch in my life, Lord. I want to thank you that you've given me hope today, God. That you draw me out of darkness. That you put me in the midst of a people, Lord, where I can give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Let's sing hallelujah to the Lamb of God because he can take what was evil and turn it around for good. In the name of Jesus, just give him praise. Hallelujah.